Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to this edition of Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We've got an amazing guest, young filmmaker, I should say. Chet Kaiser is going to be with us today, so this should be an absolutely outstanding show. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. How are all the creatures at Wildlife Educational Services?
Well, let's put it this way. You know, we were enjoying 45 and 50 degree temperatures earlier this week. And, and then we get hit with some snow. They don't care. They don't watch the news. They're not, you know, they're doing fantastic. They do better than me.
Yeah, I complain a lot less.
Yeah, according to my wife, I'm a whiner and I complain a whole lot. And I will apologize to our listeners before we get started with today's program that I am in a chair that is so comfortable, it's unbelievable. But it squeaks. So if you hear an annoying sound, it sounds kind of like a Whiteland's tree frog, whatever that is. That's my chair. So I apologize
and,
now.
The parrot's in the studio with me this afternoon, so you're allowed to hear anything.
Oh, the African gray parrot's with you, Dr. Day?
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, are you both ready?
We are.
Oh.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's February the 17th. This month is moving right along. We're going to start out with some monkey business out of West Palm Beach, Florida. Police need help finding a little monkey that was stolen from the Palm Beach Zoo. Now, 12-year-old Callie is a rare Goeldi's monkey, and it was taken on Monday. Now, all these monkeys, they have special diets that they need to be on. So, first off, you don't know what you're doing. You took a monkey. You shouldn't have taken a monkey. Take
no.
the monkey back.
Take it back. And
That's
don't
right.
dawdle about doing it either. I mean, don't do it now. You know.
Yeah,
I think it was...
You familiar with the Goeldi's monkey?
I believe it's a species of marmoset. So they're tricky.
Yes, cute little things, very sharp teeth.
Yeah, but their diets are very, very tricky.
That's right. Take the monkey back.
Yeah,
all right,
take it
now
back.
Now, we're shooting a cigarette commercial in Arizona when two camels are back home now after going on a wildlife nature trek out into the desert. Yeah, people thought there was a commercial going on. Yeah, well, the Pima County Sheriff's officials say they found their owners on Tuesday after they were out for a few days, and they were back in time. They were back home for hump day.
Hump day?
Hump day, yeah.
Well...
All right. Somebody threw away a perfectly good bear, Windsor, North Carolina. Drivers were startled Wednesday to see a hungry bear that got stuck in the back of a garbage truck. Yeah,
oh,
he was in a dumpster looking for something to eat, and he was picked up while he was foraging. Well, he took a ride down U.S. Route 17. A lot of people called in. Yeah, yeah. The bear had to be taken back, and... I mean, got to see a little bit of the neighborhood.
I can see the bear. They're looking out of the garbage truck, and the look on people's faces as they see the bear. You know who we need to consult on this, don't you, Dr. Day?
I think I do. Let's see if he's with us today.
Let's make that call to England.
Hey, there you are. You know, I always listen to the show. I love the show. I can't believe somebody actually threw away a perfect good bear.
This is Dave Davies, a lead guitar player for the Kinks.
Oh, you think they don't know me by now? I've been on about every show for the last several years.
Well, I'm just making sure. I was told in radio school, it doesn't matter how many times they've been on, always introduce your guests properly. So I read that last week. That's why I wanted to show it.
I had a thing, you know, our drummer's had a birthday this past week. Hopefully he'll turn up on Who's Gotten Older.
Oh, you know, Mick Avery.
That's right. He's had a birthday this last week. We'll have to guess how old he is. Oh, I know how old he is. He's a lot older than he says he is.
Well, I saw that on television today. Mick Avery has gotten older, but I didn't cheat. I didn't look how old, because I figured that Dr. Day would have him on Who Got Older contest we have each week. And
that's right. We'll bring Dave back a little later in the show then. Is that okay with you, Dave?
Oh, no, I hang out with you guys anytime.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Dave. Hey,
thanks, Dave.
I would have loved to have seen the officers' faces when this story was reported. We're heading off to Houston, Texas. And I don't know if you heard this past week. Police say some people who went into an abandoned home to smoke marijuana found a caged tiger.
Oh, well.
Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, what a surprise. Yeah. Yeah, well, the tiger was found in a pretty small cage, couldn't really move.
Yeah.
Seemed to be in good health, as though someone was taking care of him, but apparently they couldn't keep him at home, so they kept him in this abandoned house. Well, these teenagers who went in to smoke marijuana found him and called the police and said, we went into this house to smoke some marijuana. We found a tiger. Well, they went and rescued the tiger. The authorities nicknamed the animal Tyson after the movie The Hangover.
Mm.
Luckily, the tiger was in good shape.
Yeah.
But they had no idea where it came from.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Very interesting,
you know,
Dr. Day. Yeah.
That's something you'll hear about every day. Oh, I found a tiger in an abandoned house.
No, I know.
Pelican. His beak can hold more than his belly can. Smithfield, Rhode Island. Bert the pelican has finally found a flight out of the frigid northeast. Yeah. The juvenile brown penguin had remained stranded at the wildlife facility because of a 35-day government shutdown.
Oh.
Well. So they put Bert on a plane, flew first class, and had sardines the whole way.
Well, good. That sounds like quite a flight.
All right, now we're heading off to the land of the south wind. Do you know where that is?
I do not.
Well, that would be Kansas.
Oh,
people
I should
from
have
Kansas known. Are known as people of the south wind. We're heading off to Olathe, Kansas. Authorities have rescued a deer found trapped in a storm drain. They believe that the deer was there for almost a week.
Well, my gosh.
At a rescue facility and a return to the wild. And you're probably
my
asking,
goodness.
Well, did the little deer have any doe? Yeah, $2.
You know, sometimes I just overlook these things, and other times it just, I don't know. It's like if you've ever got a fishing hook caught in your finger, it's kind of what it reminds me of, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, people are asking, what's that smell in Austin, Texas? Well, you know how people consider Austin a little weird? Well, there's something new that's keeping Austin weird. It's stinky tap water. Yeah, now the tap water, the smelly tap water, is traced to rotting zebra mussels, an invasive species there.
Well, I could see where that would be an aroma one would not like to smell. Rotting zebra mussels. I could not tell you what that, but I have a pretty good idea what rotting zebra mussels would smell like, though I've never smelled it before.
Like a very, very low tide.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Now, we're heading to Eden, Utah. And now, the recent killing of a cougar near homes in this mountain town have spurred debate among residents about how to live in the same habitat as the predators. Now, instead of considering, you know, taking care of the predators, they're considering how to live with them in the same area. And as we know, they were there first.
Well, there's several stories that have come up since then that the cat that the gentleman was attacked by, and God bless him, I'm so glad he wasn't seriously injured. But the cat only weighed about 35, 40 pounds, so it was just a young one. And my question for these people that are concerned, if they are concerned, right, I assume they are, is how many cougar attacks or mountain lion attacks has there been in that area, let's say, in the last 50 years? And I'll bet you, I'm not sure of this, I haven't looked it up, but I will bet you that it's one, the one that happened 1 or 2 weeks ago. I bet that's it.
Yeah, might have to agree with you.
I could be wrong, but I could be right. We'll
see. All right, we're teaching a new subject. Yeah, at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Now listen to this, Atlanta, Georgia, rabid fox attacks at Georgia Tech have parts of the university's campus taped off like a crime scene. Foxes are biting the students. Yeah, and the students now are taking different routes walking through their classes because of these foxes. They can't seem to control them.
Huh. That's weird. There's got to be something going on there. You know, Jed Kaiser is also a wildlife guy. Do you have any input on that, Jet?
Well, that doesn't sound right. I think there's got to be
more to the story, thank you, right?
Well, we lost him. Are you still there?
Yeah, still there. I said there's got to be probably more to that story, right?
Right. That's what I'm thinking, as well as Dr. Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters.
Sure. I just, you know, yeah. I think you see, anytime I've ever seen a fox, he's been always heading in the other direction. So.
Right. Yeah. That's why it doesn't make sense. Dr. Day, put your staff on that. We need answers. We need answers, not today. We need them tomorrow.
Well, you know how rabies can affect different animals. We're probably talking rabies. We could be talking, they might have a family of kits.
Yeah, that's true.
There could be several different things.
Yeah. Well, get your staff on it. We need answers. Too many questions.
Too bad we weren't there for this next story. Sheehan, Maine, organizers of the Maine Moose Festival say Guinness World Records has signed off on its record-setting attempt featuring, now listen to this, 1,054 people simultaneously moose calling.
Oh, I bet that's pretty.
I bet that is a pretty good
here. I bet that's absolutely boring. What was it called? The Moose Festival?
Maine Moose Festival. Yeah.
I also say, you know, we were talking about that last story and how it just didn't make any sense, but this one makes a lot of sense because I believe that probably somewhere in that Moose Festival, there's a beer garden.
Yeah, you could be right there also.
I say there's a beer garden, and that's what fuels the moose calls. Could be wrong. More than likely.
Well, there were no flying squirrels reported at the Moose Festival this year, so.
Oh, thank God.
Let's do local news. Now, after more than 100 years of trying, Indiana has its first national park. On Friday, President Donald Trump signed a bill that included changing the name from Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore to Indiana Dunes National Park.
That's fantastic. And
that
I'm so ashamed to say I've never been there.
Very beautiful area. And now instead of just the shoreline being a national park, the whole area is a national park, which doesn't mean we get any more funding, but at least it puts us in the headlines, and that could be in the future.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
All right, other local news here. State health officials are warning anyone who had close contact with the bat at Bankers Life Fieldhouse this last week to get the rabies vaccine. Yeah, were you aware of that? Bat at the basketball game?
Yes,
no.
I was aware of that. And judging by how long the bat flew around inside the giant Bankers House Fieldhouse, nobody touched it. Nobody got close to it.
Now, only the people who touch the bat with their bare skin have a potential exposure to rabies. Now, the bat attended the Pacers game against the Los Angeles Clippers Thursday night, and he didn't have a ticket. So that's why they were trying to kick him out.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, Jed, are you ready to play? Who's gotten older?
Let's do it.
All right, wait, hold on now, Dr. Day. Okay, official music for Who Got Older. Okay.
Here I am, it's the only thing you should know.
That's all you get. Yeah. I hate this game.
We're going to have to work on that, I think.
I despise this game, but anyway. Okay.
You know what I want next time?
What's that?
I want the Beatles' birthday song.
Oh, okay. I'm making myself a note as we speak. Okay.
Okay. Ginger or Marianne?
Are they both have birthdays this week?
No, just one, but I'm asking the classic question, Ginger or Marianne?
Oh, heck. Marianne, you could take Marianne to Walmart.
Oh, that's true. Jet?
Man. Yeah, Marianne. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take her to Walmart.
I like Larry's logic. Okay. Tina Louise had a birthday this past week. How old do you think Ginger from Gilligan's Island is?
Oh. Guess goes first.
That's so, huh? Oh, dear. Oh, man. Well, you know, that show existed long before me. And I just think it, I'm just trying to put myself in that decade. And she's probably in her 80s now. Has to be, right? But
I know.
Say 81.
Oh, that's a pretty good. I'll undercut Mr. Kaiser. I'll say 72.
Wow. Well, I'm afraid Jet got you on this one. She turned 81 this past week, February 11th.
Ow.
Right on the nose.
Son of a gun. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And now. Now, this next musician,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know if Jet will even know this one. Sergio Mendes, musician Sergio Mendes, who started out with Brazil 66, went to 67, 68, 69, 70, 70, still going. Musician Sergio Mendes.
Okay.
Hmm.
I don't have a clue.
I might. I'm not too familiar with Sergio, so.
Could you sing a little Sergio Mendes music for us, Dr. Day?
Most of it were instrumentals,
Oh, that's right. Darn, that's too bad.
Here's a clue for you. His first band was called Brazil 66 because they came out in 1966.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ciphering right now. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready now. That was an excellent clue, Dr. Day. It might be winning one of these for once. I'll say 89.
Yeah, well, let's do 85.
85. Well, I'm afraid Jet's a little closer. Sergio, 178 this past week.
Huh?
Your stupid clue. What the heck? I didn't even come in closer than I did before, my lord.
All right. Now, here's one of our favorites. I had a birthday this past week, singer Peter Gabriel.
Oh.
Man. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let's see. My, oh, my. Yeah, it's still mostly before my time, but I'd say he's really probably 72.
I think he's right. Okay, I'm going to go over that. I'll say 75.
Well, I'm afraid Jet was closer on this one. Peter Gabriel turned 69 on the 13th.
Closer on that one. He's closer on that one. Jet get closer on that one. He's closer. Closer. Despise.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, Larry, you're doing great on this one. All right. Maybe this will be a little closer to you. Jet singer Henry Rollins.
Not too sure about that. Not too sure about that.
I'll just throw one out there. I'll say 68.
Yeah, I would say have to be upper 60, 67.
Oh, well, Henry's going to be mad at both of you. He only turned 58 this past week.
I mean, he was closer than me.
Jet was closer.
Wow, 10 years off. That wasn't even close.
All right. We're going to have to bring Dave Davies in.
Uh-oh.
Mick Avery of the Kinks.
Well, hold on. We got to make the connection. Dr. Day, which, you know, that just takes me a moment. Okay, the connection's ready. Here we go. Okay.
Okay, you're supposed to tell me how old drummer Nick is, my buddy Nick Avery.
Yeah. Well, I would have to say he's probably 71.
Yeah, well, some good guys there, Larry. Pretty good guys.
Does Jed have an idea?
73.
73. He's learned.
Well, Jed, you did pretty good. You were too far off. And Nick actually turned 75 this week. So Jed was a little bit closer. That's all. What's up? Five in a row for him. Oh, Larry wanted to ask you.
What?
My hedgehog keeps getting stuck to the cat. I don't know what to do about it. I've tried all kinds of things. You've got a remedy?
For keeping it, because your hedgehogs get stuck to the cats?
Yeah, I don't know what to do about it.
I would not put the hedgehogs around the cats. That's my solution.
That sounds like I can't do that. They love each other.
Well, you know, love is a lot of hard work. So the cat might have a lot of hard work getting the hedgehogs off of it. So that's part of it.
I just dropped my pastry. I stuck to the hedgehog and he's running across the room. Gotta go. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, that call is kind of expensive.
Oh, I know, but thank God Dave loves us.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we've got one more. Here's your last chance, Mr. Batson, to redeem yourself.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay. Now, we all know guitarist Matt Groening of The Simpsons. He had a birthday this past week. How old did Matt turn?
I'll let Jet take that one. I got a whole idea in it.
See, the thing, Simpsons have been on the air for a long time. I think they even go back to the 80s. So, I mean, he had to have at least been probably in his 30s then. So,
yeah.
Probably maybe 68.
I'll say 63.
Whoa. Well, Matt turned 65 on the 15th. So we're going to have to call that one a tie. You guys are three away from each way. But unfortunately, Mr. Batson, you lost every other one. So
he lost them all. All right, Dr. Day, tell Jet Kaiser his prize for winning this week.
Well, unfortunately, because you won, you have to be on the show again. Yeah.
Well, I proudly wear that metal around my neck, so.
Yeah, you've got to live with that. All right, let's do the fact of the day, and then we'll get Jet on. Okay, for our fact of the day, penguins have an organ near the eye that filters salt from the water out of their system, kind of like our tear ducts. And
wow.
That's the Wild World News for February the 17th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD. All knotty pine paneling just gives it wonderful, wonderful acoustics. And of course, we'd like to thank the SRI Label Group. They're our underwriter for Wild World. They make it possible for us to broadcast each week here at 3 p.m. and our other program, Animal Tracks, 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. SRI Record, what an amazing catalog they have online. Rock, country, jazz, blues, it's all there. And you can listen to the tracks absolutely free, or you can have the chance to download them. The SRI Label Group, SRIRecords.com.
Life.
started in the film business, producing wedding videos along with his wife, Danielle, but these were not typical wedding events on film. They were cinematic wonders. Jet Kaiser has grown to be a fantastic and very talented cinematographer traveling around the world and documenting God's wonders. This week, Jet joins us on a very, very special Wild World. Hello, Mr. Kaiser.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's a good day. It's a little cold outside, but it's warm here in the studio.
Oh, absolutely. I have to tell you, before we went on the show today, I went to your Facebook, Jet Kaiser Films. My gosh, you and your wife do such beautiful work. It's amazing. I look at these wedding videos, Dr. Day, that Jet and Danielle produced, and they look like huge motion pictures. I mean, it's incredible. So proud. I mean, I've known Jet for a long, long time, but it's just amazing work.
Well, we really appreciate hearing that. I mean, that's the kind of feedback that we want, because when we set out to, offer something new to the wedding industry, and, you have to think, too, wedding videos, when you say the word wedding video, often that's a very negative thing, because perhaps we've all been forced to maybe watch someone else's wedding video. and it's one of those things where you just kind of wish they would fast forward through, because maybe it's more entertaining for those that are starring in it than maybe a spectator. It's the same reason why you wouldn't really get too excited watching a fireworks show on TV. It's just not quite the same. Maybe you should have been there, right?
But, right.
I get to thinking too, like, well, what is a wedding video? And I was asked, I asked myself that question about 13 years ago. So what is a wedding video? Why do they look a certain way? Do they have to be that way? And I just decided, maybe there is room in this world for something a little different, something that has a little bit more production value. And so that's what we set out to do.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a wedding video, and the difference between what they did, which at the time was the TV crew from our cable show, our television show, you decide they wanted to film this. But it's between that video and the videos I've looked at on your sites, a little more production value is being very, very humble, because it's there's no.
And I hear that all the time, because when my wife, Danny and I are shooting, people are, they'll often watch us and they see the craft behind it and they see what we're doing. And I don't think we've ever been to a wedding where somebody didn't come up to us and say, I appreciate what you're doing. I love watching you work. And then they talk about their own wedding, like, oh, I wish we had that. Oh, I wish we would have invested more in our wedding video. Oh, I wish. We're always bombarded with these stories about people's their own experiences with wedding videos, because they see that we're kind of pushing the envelope there, So it's always good to kind of to get that feedback. It's always painful, because you can't really do it over again, and that's really part of what we're doing too. And you have to be comfortable with that. I remember my first wedding was actually rather nerve wracking, because I think it was only then, during the wedding, that I realized, oh, wait, you can't yell cut. You can't shout out take two. And not only are you not allowed to do that, but you're also dealing with one of the more emotional days of these people's lives. And you have to automatically get over that, or else you're always going to be frustrated. You're always going to be nervous out of your mind. So Danny and I, we got over that early on, and now when we show up to work, we shoot with intent, and we really focus on just crafting a unique product for the couple.
Well, it is, in fact. Yeah, you couldn't yell cut during the wedding kiss. Could you do that over one time, more time? We saw a little bit too much, Yeah, I could. So, okay, so you're doing these unbelievable wedding videos. What broke you into commercial work and documentary work and that sort of thing? What was your first big break on that?
Man, well, you know, because we spent years just producing wedding films, and you know, that was great. We absolutely loved that, and you know, we were happy with that. But we would often, actually, at weddings, we would get asked questions from guests or somebody sees us working, say, "Hey, do you do commercial stuff too? Do you do corporate videos?" And we would have to say, you know, "Well, we don't really offer that. That's not our specialty. So no." You know, because really we knew that we could, but, you know, when you're shooting anywhere between 25 and 35 weddings a year, you know, that's a lot of work. That's only 35 days of production, which isn't very much. But you have to think about the weeks and weeks following that. Each wedding needs a few weeks to get done. So you're already have over a year's amount of work in that year. So, you know, there was no room for anything else. But I actually shot enough weddings where we got asked that question. Then I said, you know what, I think there is room. There is room for some commercial corporate stuff. So I actually created a whole new brand, because what I couldn't do is just send people to my website, jetkaiser.com, and all you see are beautiful brides, handsome grooms, and pretty cute romantic type videos. And I can't do that to sell if I wanted to do like a commercial or a corporate video. So I needed a whole new brand to do that. And so I actually created the brand, and I guess it's one of those things where if you build it, they will come. And that's exactly what happened. So we created a second company called Lightspan Studios. And so lightspanstudios.com is where we do all of our commercial stuff from. So sure enough, boy, we started really just taking that on, all those new projects, and one thing leads to the next. We never actually had a marketing budget or anything. It's just enough people see your work, and they want something too. So that's been really fun for us. So I think we were once 100% weddings, and then it was about 50-50 weddings and commercials and corporate stuff, and now it's about 60% commercial, maybe 40% wedding. So the weddings are kind of going down on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. So you worked for the boys down in Louisiana, and I know there had to be a million interesting stories when you produced the video for Duck Commander and Duck Dynasty.
That was definitely one of the highlights over the last few years. But Dixie Chopper, who actually the lawnmower company that's based here in Indiana, central Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But they, one of a buddy of mine worked in their marketing department. And so he said, you know, we started doing some small videos for Dixie Chopper. We started making some TV commercials for Dixie Chopper. And they teamed up with the Duck Dynasty guys and Willie Robertson as them to kind of come in and be a brand ambassador for them. And part of that deal was having some commercials. And so, yeah, we on two different occasions, we went down to, boy, the heart of Louisiana, West Monroe, and went on to Willie Robertson's property there and no, we put him in the commercial, so you know we were able to have a script and storyboard, and that was a lot of fun. There was a lot of he spoke to that brand, you know, like a big heavy duty man's man type lawnmower, and then you have Willie Robertson. You know, it was a kind of the perfect marriage between, you know, talent, on screen talent, and product. So, but that was a blast. And, you know, sometimes it happens so fast. You put so much work into pre-production, and then you show up and boom, 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 you want to knock it down, because time is money. And time is it's very much money when you have, you know, high-dollar talent on set.
Sure.
And if they're paid per hour, and you have to really spend your time wisely. You can't just sit around and, you know, have a cup of coffee with them anytime that there's a break. You know, you are constantly moving. So really, when I think about like the time working with some big league talent, it's almost like a time warp that happens, because you're so worried about wasting someone else's money.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Jeff, did you get a duck call?
Did you bring
a duck call home with you?
I didn't. I know I should have, and I was kind of expecting that maybe he often hands those out at the end of a shoot, but I found out that wasn't true. So I'll probably have to get one online.
I think he's a little tight. You know, when they have that much money, you know that they know how to shake dollar. Well, I don't think I've ever told Jeff this story. We had an opportunity to do a TV commercial for, I think it was Farm Bureau Insurances for the IU basketball games. And they wanted us to bring down a white-tailed deer to be in this commercial. Now, the director comes up to me, Jeff, now, and he says, here's what we want to do. It's at Tom Huck Finn and, I'm drawing a blank. Happened to me, Dr. Day. But anyway, this young man was going to be, Huck Finn, okay. He was going to be floating down the river, Jet. Now, as a director yourself, envision this. He was going to be floating down this river on a raft. He was going to look over toward the shoreline. You with me?
I got you, yep.
And then he was going to raise his hand and point at the shoreline. And what he was going to be pointing at was the deer that we provided. And at the moment he pointed at the deer was supposed to get up and look right at him. This was to be done in one shot.
Sure.
We did it, though. That's what's so bad. No, we didn't do it in one shot, but here was the problem. It was the young child actor. He kept messing up. Now we figured out how to keep the deer in one position where they wanted it to get the shot, because it wasn't fenced in or nothing. There was nothing attached to the deer. It was just essentially loose. And we'd had it for maybe 24 hours. We bought it specifically. We obtained it for this commercial. And we found out through one of the crew guys that in the brush pile the deer was standing by, that if we put Doritos in there, that deer loved Doritos so much. It was standing right there. And we floated that raft with that kid on that raft down that river. I'd hate to say how many times trying to get that shot.
Oh, man.
He thought he was a regular, the pizza guy. I can't, I'm drawing blanks today. But, it was special moment. I knew you would have.
Oh, man. Well, that I hear you loud and clear, because it's like, you know, when people watch something on TV and, you know, you're normally not thinking about how it's created. You're not really looking at all of the factors and the details and whatever that went into it. You just think,
right.
We just watch TV or movies or whatever. We just think these things happen. Once you get into video production, you know, you can never be the same again, because I can't watch commercials, I can't watch TV without thinking about what it all looked like and how many days went into that one shot, or how many people were in charge and head over those motion graphics or whatever. And hearing that story, I mean, I just can think of all these different things that, you know, seem so easy. Like when you script it out and you storyboard it, you're like, well, that's easy. You can spend half of a production day just working on one shot. And it's just things aren't always as easy as it seems. And sometimes the simplest things, maybe even it's the simplest line. You think you script this line for someone to say, and they can't say it. You know, it seems like there's nothing you can do to direct them or help them say it. So sometimes you just kind of let them just kind of add their own personality to it. But like, I actually think about the one of the Duck Commander commercials, the Ditchy Chopper commercials, was Willie Robertson. He wanted to show you how fast this lawnmower was. So he says, you know, I'll show you. And then, so he shoots this flying duck right out of the air. and he mows his whole yard, and then he comes to a stop, and he lifts up his cooler that's on the lawnmower, and then the duck falls into the cooler, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's funny, right? That's funny. The mower is
right.
Really fast, right? But
sure.
That was a real duck. He didn't actually shoot a duck, right? Well, that was actually, B-roll that was purchased. We found a clip of some flying duck. He shot it. Well, he didn't actually shoot it. The gun wasn't even loaded, but you had a gun sound effect. Mows his yard, but that was actually a real dead duck that was that was thrown into this cooler over and over again to get the right shot. So, it's really simple on paper, right? You write, I guess you just script it. You just say, well, dead duck falls in cooler. Well, that's one little line on a script, but that can take you an hour to shoot. So.
Oh, well, we did a movie years ago, and this is in the early 80s, and I was playing, I had to stretch for this role quite a bit. I played a snake handler, and the director comes up to me. We're in a house. We're in an old house downtown Indianapolis, and he says, "Here's the scene." And by the way, the cinematographers were from Hollywood, so they were great to work with. But the director comes up to me and says, "Here's what we want. We want that cobra to sit on that chair and hood up. And once it's hooded up, do that for about 10 seconds, and then we want it to exit stage left, crawl off the off the chair stage left." That's what the director says to me. And
sure,
the guys
in sure.
California, Hollywood, they are so nervous. they thought to themselves, one of us are surely going to die tonight. Or I should say it was shot about 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd been there all night. So, which made things even better. So we just did it one take, It was unbelievable, but anyway.
So were you able to actually get what they were after, or did you have to set up?
No. We got the exact shot that he wanted, that he asked for from the beginning in one take, and the guys from Hollywood broke out in applause when they yelled cut, and it was done, one take, and they said, "You need to move to Hollywood."
That's right.
I'll call you after. And I'll tell you how we did it, but it was pretty cool. We're talking to Jet Kise, filmmaker. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Larry Batson, Dr. Henry Day on Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous. You should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure is mellow, glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love. Oh, you must take the A-train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
SRI Records, they're our underwriter for Wild World here on this magical network called Blog Talk Radio. We also want to tell everyone, also available in the SRI label group from 1965, Herman's Hermits, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
The great Shelley Leibowitz on Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson, our guest, Jed Kaiser. Now, we were talking about his beginnings in the film business, doing the wedding videos and a few commercials, but it's gone quite a bit further than that. And I know you've made several trips around the world, overseas, and done some very important film work.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I've been known for my travels the last handful of years. I mean, a part of that, I've actually made three trips to Israel in the last 3 years. And boy, that that has been quite eye opening. It's always one of those places where you think about and you want to go, but you think, well, I'll never go. But and then, in 3 years, you make three different trips. But my wife, Danny, and I actually we're part of a nonprofit called Appian Media, and they're appianmedia.org. And when really what we did this past year, we made our third trip over there. We started a new video series. And it was really kind of spent most of the time digging up some just kind of digging into the past of ancient Israel and trying to be kind of subjective about it. You know, did it really exist? If it did exist, in what way? And kind of looking at some different Bible lands and that was quite fun. So we were able to interview some archaeologists and be with them on some dig sites and just watch them actually pull these artifacts out of the ground, and they can tell you what century this would have come from and what people, what type of people would have made these things. But what we were doing this year, this new series is called Searching for a King. And it really does kind of examine the period between the Judges and then all the way through Solomon. So some really interesting places. I mean, we were able to go to the to Elah Valley, and this is the place where the David and Goliath story took place.
Wow.
I mean, and then go to ancient Shiloh and dig there, and sure enough, you're finding these different artifacts and pottery and so forth that haven't been touched in 3,000 years. And here we are, you have your hands full of these things. That was just, it was just really, really interesting. And coming from somebody in the video industry that used to idolize Indiana Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
About life, it's like, For about 2 weeks, I felt like Indiana Jones.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, you had to feel, to be in the presence of all this, it had to be a feeling you never had before. Am I right?
You are right. I mean, because people, you can read your Bible or you can read these ancient manuscripts or whatever, and you read that from somebody that is only knows this time and space, right? You have to read everything through a minimum of a 2,000-year-old lens, right? And a lot can get lost. So when you can go to these places, even just going there now and seeing the cultures in these areas, it's vastly different than running to the store here in Indiana. Vastly different running to the store, say, in Jerusalem, right? It's just a completely different lifestyle. To them, it's normal, right? They would
right.
be like a fish out of water if you dropped them off in Indianapolis. So
sure.
It is. It's really eye opening. And then you take all the verses talking about. Okay, the first series was called Following the Messiah, and that was a 10 episode docuseries on the life of Jesus. So we went to these places that. You know, this is the traditional location where Jesus, fed the 5,000. This is the traditional location of, where he, talked with the woman at the well. And then you go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is so rich with sites, but it's all built up on old Jerusalem, right, and old Zion. And you think anytime you're standing in Jerusalem, you're standing in your house, you could technically dig down 30 feet, and you're going to find another city that was once existed underneath that. I mean, that's just, it's so crazy because you can't really do that anywhere here in the United States. You go to Indianapolis and dig down deep enough, you're just going to find more dirt, right? Because it's not an ancient civilization. It's just really, really interesting because what we call old here, we have to point at, places on the East Coast. Because that's older than things on the in California coast or whatever, and
sure.
we call things old here, but it's a whole nother whole nother spectrum.
Yeah, it's really old over there. It's my gosh, I can't count.
Yeah,
I mean, and to look at the were you in Pyramid Country at all? Excuse me for my ignorance.
What's your company?
Pyramid? Were there pyramids in you?
Yeah. Well. Actually, in early 2017, I made a trip with my wife Danny to Egypt.
Okay.
Yeah, so that wasn't for production. That was because I've always had an interest in ancient Egypt. Who doesn't want to see the pyramids of Giza in person, right? I mean, I think that's on everybody's
sure.
bucket list, and it's been on mine for. Since I was a child, so it was nice to finally cross that off the list. Because we travel quite a bit for work, but I tell you, the more you travel, the more you get tired of traveling, or
sure.
the more you travel, the more you realize how big the world is and how much more you want to see. And that's exactly where I'm at now. Is the more I travel, the more I want to see, and So even like I think about our trip to Egypt, you know, we were in Egypt for 10 days. We hired a private guide, and it was just the two of us. And we felt mm-hmm. like royalty. The American dollar goes very, very far in that country. And so it's a lot of fun. And I always say, you know, people come back and ask me, like, how was your vacation? You know, I hear you're going to go on vacation. Like, I tell people, too, and it's really something I believe. I actually haven't ever been on a vacation. Like, I don't go on vacation. But I do travel a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because the way that I travel, the way that we travel, is a little bit different than maybe hopping on a cruise ship and you're surrounded by people that just look like you, they sound just like you, and you pull them mm-hmm. together. You stay in hotels, people that don't even have accents because they're so Americanized. And I just think, and you're kind of missing something if you travel that way. And I don't have, there's nothing against it. I encourage people to travel whatever flavor they want to travel in. But at the same time, anytime I go somewhere, I want to be a sponge. I want to just take in all that country has to offer. And what I don't want to do is go somewhere and be surrounded by sunburnt Americans because I can go anywhere in the United States and see that, you know, because
sure.
I've been to Danny and I, because of destination weddings, we've been to Jamaica, I think eight different times in the last 8 years. And you know, people will go there and not even leave. They'll go from the airport to their fenced-in resort and never leave it, right? And then they get back on the plane and fly away. I'm thinking, you know, you're surrounded, you have a beach and palm trees, but you know, you could save a lot of money and just go to Pensacola, Florida or something. It's just not how I like to travel, I guess.
that is so true. Well, so tell us, how do you like to travel? How do the Kaisers travel? What's their mode of transport?
Yeah. And you know, I love what the travel industry has turned into in recent years. With you think about Uber, right? I just used Uber last weekend. I was down in Houston. We had a showing down there for Searching for a King, and I question how I was going to get to the airport. You just pull up the Uber app, you tell them where you're at, a car picks you up in 4 minutes, you're at the airport in 25 minutes. And it's just amazing on what that, well, you know, you have Uber for your transportation, and then, Airbnb, right? I don't know if you've ever stayed in or used Airbnb, but what Airbnb has done to the world is fantastic, because Airbnb has taken this large, unapproachable world and made it a possibility. So that when we actually – I was just in Australia in November or late October into November, and we stayed at different Airbnbs around Australia. And these are real people that are opening up their homes, and you're able to stay with them. And you don't ever – you kind of live like them for that period of time. And that's magic. I mean, that is absolutely fantastic. So and the same thing happened when we were in Bali in Indonesia. I used a company called Homestay, homestay.com I think it is. It's like Airbnb, but it is even more intimate. So you're not only just renting or borrowing this space in someone's home, but you're in a sense kind of borrowing the family too. And so you're very intimately staying and conversing with these people. And our time in Bali was absolutely fantastic, partially due to Homestay, because we stayed with this Balinese family. And they cooked us breakfast, and they talked to us, and they interacted with us, and they helped us, you know, with directions and what are you going to do today. And you got to see how they live, and there's pros and cons to that too. You know, there's pros and cons to that because, you know, I think about, like I said, I've never been on vacation, but I travel a lot because when we travel, I see travel as something that is a lot of work. Because when I clock out on a Friday and I have a week's vacation, right? I know that I'm going to work probably more than my work week, because if you do travel correctly, you should work very, very hard. It should actually be taxing on the body and the mind, because you can clock out, and you can mentally check out and go to a beach and have someone bring you food and drinks and do that for 7 days, put some aloe on your body, and then fly back home and go back to your work, where real work begins. But there's a quote. I don't think I can remember the whole quote, but Anthony Bourdain, who just passed away last year, he had a show, Parts Unknown. And that's a big Anthony Bourdain fan for the most part. There's a lot of things I didn't really like about the guy. We didn't connect on a few things, but his travel and exploration I really connected with. And Anthony Bourdain said, travel isn't pretty. It isn't always comfortable. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it even breaks the heart. And it's like, that doesn't describe a vacation at all. But what that does describe is an experience, right? It's an experience. And, you know, part of being in Egypt, we were, you know, driving around. And Egypt is very, very conscious about tourism coming in. They want you to see the good side of Egypt. They don't want you to see the bad side of Egypt. And there's a lot of bad. They're overpopulated in that area. In Cairo, in greater Cairo, there's about 30 million people that are just stacked on top of each other. And, you know, there's just, you know, trash piles, and there's, you know, kids climbing on the trash and stuff. And I was driving, I think we're going to the airport, and the driver said, no, look over here, look over here. Like, he was trying to get our attention away from that. But, you know, I wasn't afraid of that. Because that kind of adds a perspective layer to your life. So when you come back home, you say, yeah, I saw the pyramids. I floated down the Nile River. You know, I saw the temples that Ramses built. But you also saw, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of that particular place. And that, I think travel should change you in many different ways, not just relaxation, but it should change you on a human fundamental level. So I'm always after those experiences.
So I have to ask, what consists of a Balinese breakfast?
I love eating, period. I guess I could stop there, but I love eating local. And anywhere I go, you know, I always say, what's your main dish? Mm. You know, what's your national dish? I want it now. Like, I want to start off with that now. I don't care what it is. It could be, you know, monkey eyeballs and some type of intestine sauce, and I'll have to try it, right?
Yeah.
So, but luckily in Bali, it's not that way. But so Bali, I think we had these banana pancakes is what they made.
Oh.
But it wasn't made out of, like, we think of banana pancakes. You think of, you know, pancakes with bananas in it. But it's a very different because rice, and more rice over there. Rice is included in every meal. That every meal starts with rice, almost like every meal here starts with a plate, right? You start with a plate, and then you go from there. Every meal starts with rice there, so it is absolutely infused in almost every dish. So those pancakes were made out of rice, and there was like a banana puree that was mixed in with this rice flour and then had some banana chunks in it as well. Oh, man. This is fantastic. You just need, they're sweet enough as it is. You just need just maybe a little bit of honey or a little bit of syrup on that, and that's fantastic. We also had some bananas. I think Danny wrote down the recipe because we've been wanting to make it. But what they do is they take actually banana leaves and they make a mash out of it. So it's this green, kind of a green paste, and they add some type of sweetener to it. And they pour that over like a cooked banana, banana puree. And you think banana leaves, surely they don't have much flavor, or whatever. But it was one of the best things that has ever entered my mouth. I was absolutely blown away, and I ate so many of those. That was our last day in Bali that I couldn't eat lunch because it was so packed full of that. But they put a little bit of coconut on top of that. Oh, my. Now I'm wishing I had it right now. But Bali, they have some great food. If you like rice, you're all set. But, you know, a lot of chicken and some really interesting spices as well.
Well, and the people over there, you see no obesity, do you, Jen?
Very rare. Very rare.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that you think, right, carbohydrates. The doctor says stay away from eating white things, right? Your sugars, flours, and starches
sure.
and all that. These people eat rice every day. And not
yeah.
just a little bit, but a lot, right?
And, yeah.
and they're thinking, well, these people must be just the largest people in the world, but they're not. I mean, they are
uh-huh.
not because they are active. They are absolutely active. And that's part of it, you know. That's absolutely part of it. It's the activity that these folks will do. I mean, these people are very busy. They have a lot to do in a day, and they work it off. But, no, it's you pair that up with eating a lot of fresh foods. You know,
mm-hmm.
they don't gorge themselves. They have very good self-image. They take care of each other very well. The family structure is very intense. In Bali, they still observe the caste system, which was quite an interesting conversation to have. That you know, your family can never be, you know, higher than what it is now. You know, you have these different levels of society, and you know, it's really interesting to have a conversation with someone that is in that system, and then they see the American dream, which kind of shatters that concept, right? The American
yeah.
dream says, you know, American dream says I'm going to be what I want to be. I'm following my dreams, regardless of who my mother is, regardless of who my grandfather was. I'm going to do this. And over there, that's considered extremely disrespectful, right? That's extremely disrespectful that you wouldn't just kind of stay in your lane. This is who you are. This is your family name. You're going to live here at home. And then when your dad dies, you're going to live in this same house. And he's going to be, you know, gone.
Yeah.
And you're going to kind of take his place. So.
Wow, what a call. Now, I know you're so into reptiles. What cool reptiles did you see when you were in Bali?
Man, I know. We didn't get to see a whole lot in Bali because, you know, we had a lot to do in a short amount of time. And a lot of the reptiles that are out and about are out at night. And
mm-hmm.
when you have a very full day of navigating a scooter through a busy street, you're one in 3 million scooters that are buzzing around. And
yeah.
you are sensory overload. By the time the sun goes down, you are exhausted. But that's also the time where you really want to go out with a headlamp and look at all the trees and lower vegetation
sure.
and stuff like that. But so we didn't get a chance to see too much, unfortunately. But, you know, they do have the king cobra is there. We didn't get to see one. And they have even a spitting cobra that's there. So the whole time I'm there, whether
yeah.
it's on the back of a taxi or on the scooter, I'm just looking for king cobras the whole time as if they're just going to pop out and stick my hand or something. But we didn't see any. We did find one night we did have enough energy left over. We walked down through the rice paddies and with
mm-hmm.
with a headlamp, flashlight, and we found an Indo-Chinese rat snake that
oh.
was just cruising through the I guess kind of the tall grass. Very
mm-hmm.
slender snake with big eyes. Kind of, it looks maybe more like our racers do in
sure.
here domestically. But had nice little blue coloration on the sides and a nice pretty brown on the back. And, you know, we enjoyed him for a while. We took a couple of pictures of him. And then I thought, well, what happens if I just kind of give him a little poke, you know? So we poke him, and it was almost like an explosion. That snake disappeared so fast.
Well,
so amazing. He was frozen. He thought he was hidden, right? And so,
yeah.
you know, it's funny to see an animal that thinks he's not being seen, right? You get to
yeah.
enjoy him even longer and really get to see his presence. But then I poked him, and it was an explosion of energy. He just shot and disappeared into that tall grass. And that was so fun. Another you know, childhood memories, right? You go to the reptile shows or you see in pet stores, the tokay gecko,
yeah.
right?
Which right.
is one of the largest gecko species in the world. Well, we're laying in bed. And now these in Bali, the houses are pretty much open to the elements because it's very close to the equator. The mosquitoes aren't horrible. But you're laying in bed, and anything is welcome to come into your house because your house isn't really sealed. So you might have a window that doesn't even have glass in it, and it doesn't even have a screen. So you're saying, okay, you know, whatever's out there, come on in. Which is maybe good and bad, but you start the first night there, you know, you start hearing this weird sound. I'm thinking, what is that? And I'm thinking, is that a big frog or what is that? And I kind of forgot about it the next day. And then the next place we stayed at, we heard it again. And all of a sudden you hear that, it's okay. And you hear it's like, well, I know what that is now because he's saying his name. He's announcing what he is. He's saying Tokay. It's a Tokay gecko. And they're very, very skittish, but I was able to you know, just hold your ground. And sure enough, they start coming into the house and all over the wall. And this is a big 10, 11-inch lizard that's climbing up and down the walls. And, they are so beautiful, like a gray, grayish-blue lizard with these bright orange spots on its back. And so he's running around eating all these little insects that are in the house, and there are smaller, smaller geckos all over the floor. But yeah, I really finally got to see a Tokay gecko, but a Tokay gecko in the wild, and that's very different than seeing it in a pet store.
Well, I have to tell you, I had a gentleman that came in and talked to me one time. He said, I want to obtain a couple Tokay geckos. I said, okay. And it turns out he was having a infestation of insect life in his apartment. So he got a couple of these 12-inch wall walkers, and just and what was wonderful about it is he never saw them. I mean, they wouldn't come out till the lights were turned out. And then they just did this amazing job of cleaning up his apartment, I assume. So it's,
fantastic. Oh, that's very true. Like I said, they're very skittish. And what I noticed, too, is they're very, very active. As soon as that sun goes down, they start. So they like that twilight time. And then later on the night, I'm thinking, oh, no, I love these lizards, and I love hearing them. It puts a smile on my face, but I also like to sleep. So you kind of got worried that these poor guys were going to actually ruin my time in Bali. But they're very, very active for about the 2 or 3 hours when the sun goes down. And then you don't really hear from them too much, not too much. You have some activity where maybe they're arguing or challenging each other. But, yeah, for the most part, it was actually they're very welcome guests. Or maybe they're very welcome guests, considering it's probably more or less their house than it was ours.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. Dr. Day, what a wonderful show today.
Traveling the World with Jet Kaiser. Yeah, great show, Jet. Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
I have to tell you, I hear such joy from his voice that this is a very happy young man right here that is doing something that he really, really enjoys. He does it with passion, as well as his world travels and documenting it with, I have to say, Danny and Jet, they took hundreds of pictures that they shared with the world on Facebook. It was absolutely wonderful, and it was almost felt like I was there, so it was extraordinary. And you've done well, Jet. You've done well.
We'll have to talk about doing the Larry Batson documentary.
I have thought about that. I thought, you know, there are some interesting people out in this world, and Larry Batson and Cheryl are those people, right? They are those people. If you can watch TV and you can sit through these, which I don't, sit through these Real Housewives type shows and these quote reality shows, they're not reality. Like, they are not real at all. They are scripted, they're overproduced, and they're absolutely garbage, right? I'm just thinking, if you actually could put interesting people on camera, not scripted, but just follow them around, I think that would be something I would watch, and I think that would be a lot of fun. So Larry, I actually have already installed cameras in your house, and we're already in season 2, and you don't even know it.
I was wondering why I got all these friend requests on Facebook all of a sudden. I had no idea. That I was, well, I'll tell you something. we received an email one day from a production company in California in regards to doing a television show, my wife and I, called Wife Swap. And,
sure.
Well, it was supposed to be with people that are interested or researching Bigfoot. So I ran this by the wife. I said, how do you feel about going to Oklahoma and do it? Jed, it didn't go over well at all.
That didn't.
She saw no reason to participate in that production in any extent.
Now, she'd probably be interested in husband swap, though, right?
No, she doesn't like any of them. She doesn't even like me anymore. She says, you don't need them.
Don't need them.
She says, I'm done. But anyway. Well, Jet, we appreciate your time. You're a busy, busy man, as you've told us here for the last 90 minutes, and it's been a fantastic show. Dr. Day. Oh, and Dave Davis was all today. My gosh.
As always, yeah, we love him. Dave attends the show. He listens every week, and we're glad about that.
We are, too. Hey, everybody. Have a great week. You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio with Jet Kaiser, Larry Batson, Dr. Henry Day, and brought to you by the SRILabelGroup.com.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.